It's time to break the silence and open up the dialogue around the topics of miscarriage and baby loss.
No more shame, no more taboo. Let's ditch it for the sake of our children.
The ones who are, the ones who will come.
And in memory of the ones who never came to be.
This is the Worst Girl Gang Ever podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Worst Girl Gang Ever. We are joined this week by Maria Scugina from Plan Your Baby. Thank you so much for joining us, Maria.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Bex. Thank you so much for having me today.
We are really pleased. We are very excited to share with everyone a little bit about what Plan Your Baby does, because when we first chatted to you, I personally, because of the journey that I've been on, was just so excited about what you're doing. And I keep using the word revolutionary, but I truly, truly believe it is. So we'll let you tell everyone a little bit about it. And I'm sure as people are listening along, they'll be thinking, my God, why did no one do this before? And oh, wow, that would be so, so helpful, so beneficial. It's really, really exciting stuff. So, yeah, tell us a bit about how Plan Your Baby was created.
Thank you. I've been working myself for more than 10 years in one of the busiest and most successful private IVF clinic in London. And helping more than 10,000 of patients, you know, on my journey. So it's been a up and downs together, witnessing a happy endings where patients do come with the babies and they're very happy, or witnessing the other side of it when the treatment does not work, or when patients, they do lose their jobs, or they spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on a travel ticket and they have to rent expensive apartments just to be able to attend the clinic for their appointments. And that's what I really could not understand, why it's supposed to be like this, why patients, they are so not supported, not only by the clinics, but they're just by the industry itself. I mean, if you do live 2 hours away from the place where we all know the private healthcare exists, it's London, you are forced to spend money and time and take unpaid time from from your work. And that's what I was thinking. So there must be a solution. So, and also to make patients feel that, you know, they're not by themselves on this journey, and it shouldn't be that hard to receive the quality care. And that's what we've done with our medical director and with our small team. So we created a clinic where patients do have access to the top level specialists that covering a completely 360 view on the journey, but they can have this treatment from the comfort of where they're based. So we have partnered with multiple companies, and we have created a huge web of, you know, of the services. So our patients, they can do the blood test in Wales, in Cardiff, in Bath. So we do give them all of the instructions. We get the results within 4 or 5 hours. If it's a very, I would say, far away location, we might get the results within 7 or 8 hours, but it's still the same day instructions patients will get, and without spending 3-4 hours on a train only one way. And the same we've done just for all of the range of our treatments we are providing. So our focus as a clinic is to help patients achieving pregnancy without IVF. And that's what we really truly believe, that not everyone has to go through this journey. And a lot of diagnoses can be helped without IVF. And that's what, as a company, I think the philosophy we do have, that we try really our best to help patients achieving pregnancy without spending £10,000 on treatment immediately. And it's not an easy choice to embark on this journey right away. And also what we really do need to respect is each patient's personal circumstances. And someone may really get pregnant within the first round of treatment that costs 1/10 of what IVF costs. And that's what we see in the clinic right now. And that's really fascinating to build an alternative quality treatment to IVF that everyone is very well aware what kind of side effects and financial, emotional burden it can bring together with the treatment. And what we also try to do, we try clinically to reduce miscarriage rates. And that's what really, as a company, We work very hard to provide patients a very close clinical and psychological support during the especially first trimester of the pregnancy, where it's the most fragile stage and where patients actually can receive a quality treatment and very close monitoring that potentially can save the pregnancy. And unfortunately, one in four pregnancies still ends as a miscarriage. And, you know, we live in 2023. We fly to space and we have all of these technologies, AI, everything, but we still can't work on the basics. And that's what we really try to fight about. And 50% of all the miscarriages results to chromosomal abnormalities, but then the other 50% can be actually prevented. So, and that's a huge amount of pregnancies that potentially can be saved. And that's what we try to do by applying all of the expertise that our team has to work on this. So
I think that's incredible, because I think particularly what you said about having an alternative to IVF, certainly my personal experience was that I didn't get periods. So I had, like, to start with, very, very infrequent, and then they stopped altogether. And I got fast, because of that, I got fast-tracked for IVF, so I didn't have to wait the full year. But there was no kind of, through the medical profession, doctors, there was no, well, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. It was like, right, okay, well, don't worry, because we'll get you fast-tracked to have IVF. There was this massive, and I didn't know that because I was young. I think I was only 25 when I started trying for a baby. I had no idea that there was anything else. It was either fall pregnant naturally or have IVF. And actually, it was only because, as luck would have it, I was friends with someone who ran a complementary health clinic. And she said, oh, have you looked into fertility acupuncture? Which actually then worked for me. It regulated my cycles and allowed me to fall pregnant naturally. But I had no idea that was a thing. And I think there is such a grey area, because I'm not alone in the fact that, you know, in my thinking, in that it was either natural pregnancy or IVF, that there seems to be this whole world that is relatively unknown to people as they start the fertility journey. And there must be so many different alternatives to spending thousands of pounds going through that huge emotional trauma and experience to end, you know, to help you along your fertility journey. So I just think it's amazing what you're doing, and there is such a need for it.
No, and I, you know, I totally agree with you, and it really breaks my heart when I keep hearing the stories where a patient did go to IVF clinic, they've spent a fortune for a couple of IVF cycles, and then eventually they've got pregnant naturally. Mm. And what, as a team, what we really believe in is that there are so many diagnoses that can be, if not treated, that controlled, and with some medications can be prescribed to help patients to achieve pregnancy. And it's all about the very close monitoring. Of course, we are very clinical. We're not just poking with a finger into the sky. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. No, we very thoroughly investigate, and we try to understand the reason why this patient can't conceive naturally. So what can be done to help you to achieve pregnancy without IVF? And don't get me wrong, I'm not fighting against IVF, and it's the, you know, it's a fascinating, you know, inventory that's been, you know, discovered more than 40 years ago, and it created more than 8 million babies, and thanks to IVF a lot of patients, they did achieve pregnancy. But we truly believe that it shouldn't be offered as a first line solution. We really forget that actually it's not us, it's the patient who is considering this treatment. She is there, she is injecting herself with the hundreds and hundreds of injections. Like, it's not us as a practitioner, so we don't know what's happening at home when she's crying, standing by herself, trying to inject, you know, having all of these fears, looking at all of these syringes, needles, and then thinking, oh my God, so what's going to happen on a day of egg collection? Will I get any eggs out? So, and we really underestimate what this treatment actually brings to the families. And from our aspect, that if we really know that, okay, we can treat more than 13 of most common causes of infertility through the non-invasive approach, so let's do that, but let's also help patients to get this help in the most supportive way we can. And one of the things what we really managed to build, which I'm very proud about, is, and hopefully this service will be extended geographically above the M25 region. But what we've done, so we actually managed to have nurses going to patients' houses within the M25 for less what Uber ride costing them right now. So compared to other companies, what we see right now, to actually have a nurse coming to your home at 7 o'clock in the morning will cost you absolutely fortune. We broke this. So we managed to do for about £30, nurse can come to any location within the M25 to do the blood test. And it can be done at 7 o'clock in the morning. It can be done at the later times. It can be done in the office at the end of the day. The nurse can come to the patient's workplace and do this blood test for her, just to avoid her taking time off, travel to the clinics, you know. And we all know what's happening right now with the public transport in London. I mean, the number of strikes that you see, it's just unbelievable that, you know, the train strikes. And it's unnecessary stress. That's what I really look at it like this, that it shouldn't be a part of the treatment, definitely.
And I know we talked about this before, Maria, in terms of, like, you know, when you are under the stress of infertility, when you are dealing with that on a day-to-day basis, when it is consuming your mind and your emotional health, and then you have to get yourself across London and you have to negotiate the train strikes and you have to negotiate public transport and stuff, you end up, it's a layer of stress that you absolutely don't need on top of an already completely traumatic living environment that, you know, mentally living environment that you're already in. So I just think it's, Laura's right, it's revolutionary, and I think it's going to help so many people.
I just think back to when I was having my treatment, and I live in Gravesend in Kent, and my clinic was in Epsom, which is about, on a good day, an hour away. But it would mean a whole day, because you'd have to get there, battle the M25 traffic, get parked, pay a fortune for the pleasure of being there, and then get stuck in traffic on the way home, and it would be a whole day gone. And it's the stress of having to ask your employer for that time off, and, you know, there's only so many times that people, there's only so much goodwill that managers have before they start saying, is this really necessary? And you know, do you need to, can't you have it done locally? And the clinic are saying, no, you can't have it done locally, you have to come to us, it's a specialist.
Also, and on that as well, like, it eradicates the, you know, unfortunately we're not living in a society where it's okay to tell your employers, mm-hmm, all the time that you're having fertility treatment, because you feel like that puts you in a vulnerable position in your workplace, right, in your career. So with what you're offering, Maria, like, you don't have to necessarily tell your employers that you're undergoing fertility treatment or anything like that. You can do it all with the privacy that you deserve, you know, because we shouldn't have to share about these things if we don't want to. Yes, in an ideal world, we should be able to share, and it should be understood, and it should be validated, and it should be, you know, it shouldn't cause us any fear within our careers, but it does. For so many women, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, it does, absolutely. And it's a shame that, you know, despite of all of the awareness and what's happening right now, and thanks to so many companies that try to fight, you know, for the women's rights, you know, to feel safe at their workplace. And there are so many incredible companies that do great job, but the society is not ready for that as yet. And because also when you can't conceive, it's like the emotional stress and that you experience, it's actually really does not put you in the best position, and you do feel vulnerable, and that's what's happening. And it's very difficult to come to your boss and to say, well, this is what I'm going through, because of course you know that you have to pay for the IVF treatment, and it costs you thousands and thousands and thousands. And to lose the job because of that, that's not what you want at the end of the day. So you want to feel supported. And I was thinking a lot about it, because it does say that, yes, we want to have a treatment at our own comfort. We want to keep the privacy if we think it's the best approach, you know, for us, or if we want to share about our treatment with someone, like with your community or with our friends and family, just to surround To surround yourself with the people that understand what you're going through. And that could be one of the coping mechanisms that, you know, can be used. But at the bottom of it, it all sits about, you know, you have your clinic, you have your doctor, and you have to deal with that. And that's what we try to change, that you do have your life, you do have your work, and we're going to make treatment work around you. So that works for you in you know, in the absolutely less stressful environment. And we do have incredible psychologists and fertility coach as well in our team that can support patients, you know, if this is needed. But it's all also about your day-to-day routine. So how that can be simplified. And that's like what kind of angle we've taken just to change that. So we don't want our patients to travel for 2-3 hours and to take time off and, you know, worry about that, and also we don't want the treatment quality to reduce as well. So that's why you have a top level specialist, and then the patient can be in Leeds to do the blood test and ultrasound scan. We're gonna get the results within a couple of hours, and thanks to our partners that also support this vision as well. Because it took me about 6 months speaking to hundreds and hundreds of different people, different companies, you know, and. And sometimes I've heard like, well, who are you to do this? Like, so, and it's also was quite impressive at the end to see that actually our partners, laboratories and ultrasound clinics, they've realized that, wow, this is actually how we're supposed to support our patients as well.
The other thing that I really like about what you do is when you are supporting someone who is pregnant in the early stages, because I think when someone has IVF, they are monitored quite frequently, aren't they? They go in to the clinic for their scans. But if you don't go through IVF, it's really hard to get an early scan. And you can often, you know, go to various places to pay for a private scan, but you're not being looked after by that person. It's just like to get the picture, right, or check everything's okay. Whereas you guys, and also, if you know, if you're to get a scan at the early pregnancy unit is very hard. You either have to be severely bleeding or have a you know, a long extensive history, and even then it can be tricky to get one quick. It can often be, you know, come back in a week. So you guys look after people a lot more. It's a lot more nurturing, isn't it?
Yes. So what we've done for many, many, many years, and I'm lucky to have our medical director on our board, and he has absolutely extensive knowledge and expertise in recurrent miscarriages as well. So, and what his views are is that we really need to look after the pregnancy right from the beginning, the moment we know the woman is pregnant. So we need to check the hormones. We need to check the pregnancy hormone. We need to look after the thyroid function. We need to see what exactly, you know, is preventing you to keep the pregnancy. And by providing such a close monitoring, sometimes blood tests can be every third day within the first 10 days. And that's exactly the stage when we can save the pregnancy from the early stage miscarriage, when actually patients do report, you know, having bleeding at 6 weeks. And in many scenarios, it can be prevented by actually monitoring the progesterone, prescribing correct dose of it, looking at the immunology, reproductive immunology, and trying to, you know, to find the reason why it's happening. And also, you're absolutely right when you said it's so difficult to get a scan, but then also, but who will do the scan? If patients, they do go to NHS, they're bleeding, they go to the A&E early pregnancy unit, and then they're told that they have to wait 7, 8, 9 hours in the queue until they will be seen. So that's not what you want to experience as well. So, and yes, and that's also that we don't want our patients to go through that. And knowing that what's happening now with an NHS, it's really heartbreaking that patients have to have at least three, four miscarriages before they will be offered any kind of support. And hopefully that will be changed very soon. And so what we do very close monitoring of the blood test and ultrasound scans during the first trimester. We also offer the Harmony test to our patients if there is an indication or if they wish to make sure that the baby is healthy. And then past 12 weeks, we do monthly scans, blood tests, urine tests, just to make sure that we continue looking after the pregnancy. We do have an obstetrician who is also on our team. So he's kind of taking care of the pregnancy post 12 weeks. So yeah, so that's what we really believe in, that we shouldn't leave patients by themselves. And just because it's not an IVF pregnancy doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. And that's what we are here for.
So the warriorship, we wanted to come and tell you a little bit about it, didn't we, Bex?
And in case you're already going, why? We don't want to know about a fucking ship. The Warriorship is our online membership for warriors in this community.
It's packed full of stuff. So we just want to tell you about some of the stuff. All of the content from all of the courses that we ever run is in the Warriorship. So there's loads to get your teeth into.
And we are also developing modules for what happens after.
But not only that, we've also got a ton of educational workshops running once a month. In the coming months, we have got body positivity workshop, gratitude workshop, and loads more.
And on top of that, we also have a resident mental health specialist. And on top of that, as if that wasn't enough, there's 13 events every month. And there's stuff popping up all the time as well that other people are organising that you can be a part of. So it really is thriving.
And all you have to do is head to the link in our bio or visit our website and you can be a part of this too.
We'd love to see you there.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing about IVF is you were talking earlier about people going for that, feeling like they're being pushed into IVF, and I think often when people go through loss and recurrent loss, they, because they're not really being looked after, they're being sort of fobbed off with, you know, keep trying, it's just bad luck. I think they often feel like if they go for IVF, then they'll be looked after and they'll, you know, someone will take care of them and help them through this whole journey. But you don't need to have IVF to do that. And the trouble with people who are going through recurrent loss is there's probably another reason for your losses. IVF is not going to solve that. And so then people spend an absolute fortune, go for IVF and still lose the baby because all of the underlying stuff hasn't been investigated prior to that.
A friend of mine, this is, I think this is a really sort of just on that, a really close friend of mine had IVF maybe three or four times, and none of those rounds were successful. And they changed clinics and they tested for the MTHR gene. And discovered that she had a mutation on this. I might be saying this all wrong. This is my memory of it. But she had that. And then they treated that with drugs.
Yes.
And went again. And they had a successful pregnancy and had twins. And then, in my knowledge, because they treated it, she went on to have a successful pregnancy without IVF after that. And the first clinic didn't test for that at all. So they spent, you know, somewhere upwards of £45,000. Yes. You have all these rounds of IVF, which were never going to work because of this mutation that she had that wasn't picked up. And I just think that, how is that?
I'd want a refund. I would say I want my 45 grand back.
Yeah, because how, that, something that seemingly, I know it probably wasn't as simple as I'm making it out, but something so easy to fix, like why is no one testing for that to start off with? If you're spending, now it's not like, oh, spent a couple of hundred quid, never mind. This is like the deposit of a house, you know. This is a serious amount of money that you're spending, but it's never going to be successful because your personal history is not being looked at with the correct lens.
No, it really makes me like cry when I hear these stories. And I think it regardless of which clinic, you know, patients they choose, when they do speak to a doctor, it's very difficult to establish this contact immediately and have trust. And once the trust is gained, then you really put all of your hopes, isn't it, towards this clinic. And when it does not work, and what I really wish, you know, to encourage every single patient, please ask questions. It's so important, because unfortunately, some of the clinics, they will just not do their best to help you out and investigate and try to find the cause. And that's where the problem is sitting, because each patient needs to be, you know, looked at as you are an individual. And yeah. Let's, as an individual, let's not just apply the very standard protocol and then think that, okay, it's going to work for absolutely everyone. Well, it's not actually how it works, because every single body is very different. I mean, in our clinic, we do IVF. We do offer IVF as well, but only for those where it's unavoidable. So we're not trying to tell our patients, you know, you go through IVF straight away and this is the only treatment that, you know, we're going to offer to you. Not at all. But when we do provide IVF, it comes to absolutely very close monitoring. So sometimes we have to do blood tests every day for a couple of days, because we see how you respond to new stimulation drugs. We need to change the dose, and we are really trying our best to maximize your chances. And then prior to IVF, what we do, we do a very thorough monitoring cycle. So we do investigations. We look at the hormones, at the one menstrual cycle, how exactly your body performing, what exactly is happening. So what can we understand from your cycle? And then analyzing the medical history as well. So then we do perform the tests that are necessarily to understand the cause of infertility. So that's when it comes to those patients who are in need, like, and they need to have IVF treatment. But I agree. It's not only in UK, isn't it? It's in so many places you see the same situation where the protocol just been offered to you. You know when your egg collection gonna be in advance, prior even you've started your treatment, and that also makes me wonder. Well, these doctors must be genius if they already know in advance that their collection gonna happen like three weeks ahead. So from one side I adore those doctors, from the other side I just can't disagree more on this approach.
I think it's really interesting as well. I've spoken to lots of couples who have based their decision on IVF, the clinic that they've chosen to go through IVF, on how looked after they felt like. And it's not, and this is what you said, Maria, about holding a patient, holding them emotionally as well as supporting them medically, because I think there is a huge power in feeling, and we've talked about this a lot, Laura, haven't we? There's a huge power in feeling held, seen, understood, validated. And I know lots of people who have gone to an IVF clinic and written it off because the receptionist wasn't friendly, because that is how important this emotional side of it is. That is how essential it is to be recognized as going through a really shit situation that you don't want to be in, and feeling that warmth of understanding and compassion and just being looked after from the moment that you are first spoken to within that medical environment all throughout the treatment. I think it's just as important as the treatment itself, that everyone you have on board is on the same page and has that compassion and has that level of understanding that this is something huge in these people, in the lives of these people, and this is something that they want so badly and they've been obsessed with and they're consumed by, and it's leaked into every area of their life. And I think that once that is seen and recognized, it's so important for a couple, for a woman or a couple, you know, to feel that.
No, absolutely. And I think the key here is you have to pick the right stuff. And I'm not going to be afraid to say that, because this profession, this field is not about, you know, earning money. Staff who is going, you know, to work for cancer units or fertility units, they do have compassion. It's the staff that, you know, they have a reason to do this job, because they feel for the patient and they want to do something good in their lives. And I think this is what we really take very seriously. We have a relatively small team, but everyone knows that the patient is everything for us. So we're going to advocate for our patients regardless of what's going to happen. So we try, you know, to deliver the best to our patients, starting from the manner, how do we speak to them? We try to understand their personal circumstances and situations. So then we can try to make them feel that they're so supported. And of course, you can be overworked and you can be tired, but it's nothing has to do with the patients. They shouldn't feel that, you know, that they are not supported. So they came to you because they have the trust and they want you to help them. And that's what I think, that, you know, this is what each clinic needs to look at very seriously, and it has to be a priority, because at the end of the day, this journey never gonna be easy, like, for anyone.
Yeah. Excuse me. No, it's certainly not easy, but the hope is that with someone holding their hand throughout it, and also them being able to carry on a little with their normal life and not have to up sticks and keep traveling miles and miles and spending a fortune on hotels and trains and all of that. The hope is it will just make the whole thing a little bit easier, right?
I was going to ask you, Maria, so can you explain a bit about the process? So we might have people listening thinking, yes, this is exactly what I need. This is what I want. So what is the process start to finish with you guys?
Yes, so patients can easily contact us via WhatsApp. We have it on our website, or through your community, or email to us. And usually what happens, it's the consultation. So we don't start treatment without speaking to our patients. So doctor conducts all of the medical history, makes the plan, and then depending on their circumstances, what kind of treatment they need, then we make all of the arrangements for all of the blood tests and tell our patient, okay, so this is the closest location to you, your blood test has been booked, and appointment is, let's say, today or tomorrow, depending on, you know, at the need. And then once we get the results, we again communicate with our patients. So the treatment usually takes a month if it's assistance with conception. So it has about 4 to 5 appointments at different stages of the cycle. And then if the treatment works, fantastic. It's a pregnancy monitoring, so we continue monitoring the pregnancy. If it's an IVF, then patients do get delivered to their home medications and protocol, and they have a consultation with a nurse, like a teaching session. And then we do communicate a lot with our patients via WhatsApp, and that's happened to be the most convenient tool for our patients. So they do message to us, and then we make all of the arrangements for the blood test. Patients who live within the M25, that means that nurse will come to their doorstep, do the blood test, the ultrasounds usually every other day, and an ultrasound will be done at the closest location. And then we do perform egg collections at our partner clinic in London. So that means patients will have to travel only twice for the egg collection and the embryo transfer. And then the remaining, all of the services will be done from the comfort of where they live.
Amazing.
And consultations with the consultant are done over a video call or on the phone?
Yeah, over the video call, yes. And we always encourage, if patient is single, that's fine. But if patient has a partner, that always we encourage patients to be both present during the call. It's very important to both be aware of how the process is going to look like, what to expect from the treatment, and also to get to know to your doctor. That's also very important.
Amazing.
And am I right in thinking that you are still offering your free consultations?
We do offer, and it's been a slightly busy couple of months for us. I just look at the statistics, and we had more than 300 bookings in the last month and a half. And some days we have that, like, nonstop from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. calls. But it's been fascinating to get to know to our patients. Who are they? Where do they live? What, you know, what kind of support they need? And to listen to their concerns. And it's actually what shocked our team, that patients who live outside of London, they just simply don't know where to go. Who can help them? And that's what actually made us realize, oh my God, like this service is actually is the game changer for them.
It really is. So if anyone's listening and they are feeling lost, don't know where to go, not sure what the next step is, you know, have been fobbed off with it's just bad luck, that kind of thing, then...
Or like, you know, straight down the IVF path.
Yeah, then get in touch. We'll put the link in the show notes for the free consultations.
I think it'd be really interesting to know how many people come through this podcast. So that would be good.
Yes, I'll definitely let you know, and it will be really interesting to see. Yes, so how many patients will contact us, and I mean the free calls. This is something that really blew our mind. I don't know why other clinics not doing that, but it's the moment when we really start to speak to first with our patients, and just to hear their stories. Sometimes that helps this little, even if they don't come back to us. At least they've taken off from the chest, like, this is what's happening in my life, and I need this help, and if we can, of course, then we do try our best.
I think there's so many options out there, and people, there's advice that comes from all angles, and you just sometimes get a bit overwhelmed and you think, well, I could go to these people and pay a few hundred pounds for a consultation, but I don't know if they're right for me, and do I want to waste that money? So I think the free call is just, it's going to be so beneficial, and it might not be right for everybody, but for those that it is right for, they will feel a lot more confident when they then hand their money over.
No, absolutely true. And I think also, I'm quite lucky to have a fascinating team, and our senior nurse, midwife Ruth. So she's been enjoying just doing these calls. And honestly, when I just looked at the statistics, like more than 300, that's a bit crazy. That's how many we've done within such a short period of time.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Close the name. Well,
Maria, yeah, we wish you so much luck, and just keep in touch, and, you know, whatever we can do to help, just let us know, because we're so behind you, and we're so behind this, getting people the help that they need at a more affordable, more convenient, and less intrusive ways is so what we're, you know, what we're behind. So yes, good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me today. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
No, it's been a pleasure to be able to share what you do with everybody, just because we chat to so many women, and we know that this is going to be so helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for coming to share about everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you too. Have a
nice day. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.